Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
No matter where you look,
This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters, family and friends. You are indeed listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, hallelujah, October 23rd, 2022. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, and this morning I am joined by the, hallelujah, the best servant leaders inside the River Jordan in the persons of Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, hallelujah, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Evangelist Michelle Scott, and Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. So on behalf of all of us, we would like to wish you, hallelujah, welcome you, excuse me, to our service this morning, and we pray that you will hear something that will uplift your spirit and bless your soul. We will now go to opening prayer with Evangelist Michelle Scott. Amen.
Thank you. Father God, we come to your throne of grace right now with closed eyes and humbled hearts. Father God, like the song said, there's nobody greater than you. We thank you for being our Alpha and our Omega in our lives. Lord Jesus, we know that we can come to you for anything that we need, because you said in your word that all we had to do was ask and believe, and we will receive. Father God, we just thank you for loving us even when we feel that we're not worthy enough to be loved. Father God, we just thank you for lifting up our bowed down heads, Father God. Lord God, we thank you for just everything that you give to us. We thank you for the gift of breath that we received during this morning. We thank you for touching us with your finger of love and springing open our eyes to see yet another day we've never seen before, and to be able to worship with one another in song and in praise and in word, Lord Jesus. We just, if we had 10,000 tongues, we could not thank you enough, Father God. We thank you for being there for not just us, but for all of our family members and friends. We thank you for removing sicknesses and illnesses from people, Lord Jesus, because nobody can do it like you. Father God, we thank you for our families and our friends. We just thank you so much, God, just for being you, for loving us without any hesitation, Father God. Even when we're not at our best, Lord Jesus, you still surround us with your love and care and support, Lord Jesus. And we just can't thank you enough right now, one today.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for this assembly, Father God, of great servant leaders that you've blessed us to be in a company by.
Thank you, Father
God,
bless
touch each and every last one of them. Touch each and every last one of their family and their family members, their friends, Father God. Bless them on their jobs in the workplace, whether they're outside or working from home. Father God, bless each and every one of their ministries right now, Father God. Help them to continue to reach out and touch your people, Father God, leading them to you. Lord Jesus, we just thank you right now for the mother of this church, Father God. Touch
thank
her
you.
In a special way. Bless each and every mother of each and every servant leader. Bless
thank
each and
you,
every
Jesus.
Person that's listening from
you,
all
Jesus.
Over the world, Father God.
Yes,
let them
Lord
continue
God.
To understand that there is no one greater than you, and you're just a prayer away. All they have to do is look to you. You have the answer to everything or any question that we might have in the world. What a wonderful thing to know that you are always there for us. Father God, I ask especially that you would just continue loving and blessing and pouring into the servant leader, the head servant leader of this great assembly, Father God. Hold her up. Continue to hold her up, Father God,
my
and help
Lord,
her to continue to
Jesus.
Pour into each and every every last one of us and all of the listeners who tune in faithfully each and every day for the many programs that are offered here at Spirit Alive. Father God, I close with saying again that there's nobody greater than you. In all of our lives here at Spirit Alive, we embrace this, and we love you, and we'll continue to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
For your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Yeah. Of the good.
to God. Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask the beloved mother of this church, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come forth to read to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince. Hallelujah. So won't you please retrieve your Bibles and give your undivided attention to Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen. Mother Mitchell? Mother Mitchell, are you having technical difficulty, dear? All right. Mother Mitchell, are you there, dear? Well, we'll just move along. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before your throne of grace, knowing that the enemy is a liar. Now, whatever technical difficulty is going on, Lord God, we know, hallelujah, that you have cool control. So we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that whatever is going on, Lord, you will rest and restore right now, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Right now,
we just bless your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus was the best thing I've ever done. In his arms I feel protected. In his arms never did connected. In his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Disconnected. In his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. In your arms, I feel protected. never know. In your arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Oh Lord, there's no place I'd rather be.
God. Now for the meditational reading. Today's reading is entitled, You Are God's Beloved. And we're coming from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. And it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. At the River Jordan, Jesus heard his father say to him, You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Later in the wilderness, Jesus heard the devil say to him, if you are the Son of God, notice, the devil not only questioned Jesus' sonship, but he also dropped the word beloved when he said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God. You see, the devil cannot remind you that you are God's beloved, because when you know this truth, whatever he wants to bring against you will not succeed. Many girls are giving away their virginity because they need to feel wanted and loved. And young boys join gangs to feel accepted because they have been rejected and made to feel worthless by others. But when you know that you are God's beloved, no temptation can succeed against you, not even the giants who may taunt you. Consider David, who slew Goliath. David in Hebrews means beloved. It takes a David to knock down a giant. In other words, it takes someone who knows that he is God's beloved to win the fights of life. You are God's beloved, not because of what you do. Christ did everything. He is God's beloved. But God put you in Christ. That is why you are accepted in the beloved. And what God said to Jesus, he says to you today, you are my beloved Son of God. Hallelujah. And whom I'm well pleased. So if the devil tells you, hey, you call yourself God's beloved after what you did, have the assurance that it is not based on what you have done. It's not based on what you have done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But that what Christ has done, and you are still God's beloved because you are in Christ. When you say that, I believe the devil screams in frustration because he has no power over you are conscious that you are God's beloved. There is truly a place of safety when you know that you are his beloved. My friend, we are not being proud when we call ourselves God's beloved. How can we boast when we know that it's God's grace that has made us accepted in the beloved? Thought for the day, it takes someone who knows that he is God's beloved to win the fight. Amen. May God add a blessing to the hearers, doers, and especially the reader, the hearers, doers, and the readers of his holy and righteous word. Amen.
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 Three, four.
And worship experience. And you know what? Hallelujah. We are about to hear a Rhema word today, because the enemy is trying so hard. So hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I praise God this morning that we hear Spirit Alive. We all know who and whose we are.
Yes.
And we know that no matter what the enemy does, we've already won. because we're standing in Christ Jesus. So right now, what we're going to do, hallelujah, is go on with this service, because, see, we don't flow by an order of service. No, no. We flow by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So nothing really throws us. Nothing really bothers us. Hallelujah. Because we know it's going to be what God wants it to be.
Yes, yes.
So no matter what goes on, we don't get flustered. We don't, hallelujah, get all in a hurry. But we're just going to take our time, and we're going to praise God all the more. We're going to thank God all the more.
Yes.
We're going to pray, hallelujah, one for another all the more. We're going to pray for the issues that we see in this world, because here, when we pray expecting and believing God will do exactly what he says he will do. So right now, I want you to clear your minds. I want you to bow your hearts and get ready, get ready, get ready to stand in agreement with the anointed apostle of God, Apostle Zeta Flowers, as she takes us to the throne of grace. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. God bless you, everyone. Let us prepare to go into the throne of grace again and lift up our petitions before the Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you, Lord, asking that you would forgive us of anything, Lord, that may be harboring inside of us, sin, commission of sin. We come against it right now in the name of Jesus, but we ask that you would forgive us of it in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever it may be, we ask, Lord, that you would surface it, that we may get rid of it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for being a forgiving God this morning. We thank you. We thank you that we can come to you, hallelujah, and ask for forgiveness, because we want to be in right standing with you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you that you died, hallelujah, for us. We may have the right to eternal life. So we thank you this morning for forgiving each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, we thank you for victory this morning. We thank you that we have the victory because of you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, that you have already defeated Satan. And because you have, hallelujah, we are also victorious. So we thank you, and we thank you that we are in union with you this morning. Hallelujah. We praise you. We praise you. We thank you that we have victory in spiritual warfare. We thank you. We thank you that we are operating, hallelujah, by your power. We thank you and by your strength, hallelujah. We thank you for it this morning as we lift up our nation to you, God, asking for peace, hallelujah, for global healings, hallelujah, all across the nation, across the world, hallelujah. Asking, Lord, and believing for salvation for the lost and those that are yet unreached. We pray, Lord, for better relationships and families and all across the nation, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we ask, Lord, for those that are suffering, Lord, that you would touch in their lives today, that you would bless them, hallelujah, you would speak healing over them in the name of Jesus. Those that are grieving, we speak healing, we speak peace, and we also ask, Lord, that you would comfort them in the mighty name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, for those, hallelujah, that are hungry, those that are without, we pray, Lord, that they will have sufficiency in the name of Jesus. We pray for the strength, hallelujah, that they need. We pray for courage, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus across the nation, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We pray for those that are in transition. Many are in transition due to the hurricanes, due to the storms, due to the flooding, the fires, and all of these things, Lord, natural disasters, and those that are not. We ask, Lord, that you would, that your hand of protection would be upon them. In Jesus' name, touch, Lord. We pray, Lord, that relationships will become better in the name of Jesus, in our families, in our churches, those that are in leadership, government leadership, those that are in schools, in the name of Jesus, we pray for protection, protection over the schools, protection over our children, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, hallelujah, that you would send forth those, Lord, that are in law enforcement, that they will be surrounded by the schools, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray most of all for your hand of protection in Jesus' name. And those that are continuing to kill, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you would put a stop to it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for those, hallelujah, that have been taken off the streets, those that have been the mass shootings and so forth, Lord. But we know, Lord, that there are yet those that have evilness in their hearts. And we pray, Lord, for those in the name of Jesus, that their lives will be turned around. In Jesus' name, we speak salvation, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in these situations, in Jesus' name. And we also pray for those that are continuing to be abused, in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that your hand of protection would be upon them. We thank you for those, Lord, that you have rescued, that we've been hearing about, especially on this past week, Lord, those that have been abducted. We thank you, Lord, for those that you have rescued and brought back to their families. But we pray for healing. We pray, Lord, that they will overcome the trauma that they have experienced in Jesus' holy and righteous name. We pray for those, Lord, that are in bondage, those that are being held, hallelujah, in prisons, even those, Lord, that have served their time and they're still there, Lord. We pray that you would release them. We pray that you would set them free in the name of Jesus, that they will serve you, that they will live their lives for you, that there will be a turnaround, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we speak salvation in these areas, that you would send forth those that know you, those that stand against this in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that many will be set free in Jesus' name because they will hear the gospel, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you for what you have already done and what you're going to continue to do. We pray, Lord, that you would lead in the upcoming elections in Jesus' name, hallelujah. We pray, Lord, for righteousness. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for those that are being healed, even in the hospitals. We pray that you will continue to send your people in, Lord, that they may minister, hallelujah, to those that are helpless, to those that are ill, to those that have no hope. We pray, Lord, that they will, that hope will be instilled in them, Lord, that they will know you in the pardoning of their sins. In Jesus' name, we pray for the lost everywhere in Jesus' name. And we thank you. We thank you for our victory. We thank you, Lord. We pray for the ministry, hallelujah, that you have given Apostle Shirley Cook. We pray, Lord, for Spirit Alive. We pray for those that are listening, Lord, in this morning. We pray for every leader, hallelujah.
Yes,
we pray,
Lord,
and
bless,
we
Lord,
lift up the one that has the message this morning for the hour. We ask, Lord,
yes,
that you would anoint her, hallelujah, that the anointing will flow, hallelujah, that your word will go forth and do,
yes,
what you have sent it out to do. And we thank you. If there's any sick among
Lord
us, Lord, hallelujah, we ask, Lord, we speak healing over them in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ask, Lord, that you would work miracles in the name of Jesus where it is needed, in Jesus' holy and righteous name. And we thank you for it. We thank you for what
you're
doing on this day. Hallelujah. We thank you for our lives. Hallelujah.
Yes,
we
Lord,
thank you for what you have given us to do.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We thank you for entrusting us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We lift up Mother Mitchell this morning. Whatever
yes,
is going on, Lord,
yes.
we pray that you would move in that situation
yes.
in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. We praise
thank
you right
Lord.
Now. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 and glory to God. It is now time for this morning's message. Glory. And I just want to praise God for our anointed speaker this morning. What can you say about Pastor Vanessa? Well, when I looked up Proverbs 31, I saw her picture there. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. She is humble. She has a heart after God's own. Hallelujah. And she teaches precept upon precept by the word of God. So get something to write with and to write on. And prepare to receive a banquet feast for my dear sister, God's prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist, Pastor Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook, for that introduction. I appreciate that. Today's message is something that is, I would say, in progress. It's one of those things that this is just part one. And maybe the next time that I have to minister to this network, you'll hear part two. But this is really about the intimacy of God. That's the topic today. It's about how to be more intimate with God. That word for many of us means something different. But it came from a place where God was dealing with me about compartmentalizing or detaching when I'm in ministry or when I see others in ministry. It's just a task. It's just a checking of the box. And there's so much that we gain and so much that we learn, and there's so much that is developed when we really connect to the Lord and we begin to serve in a way where it's a level of worship. And it said, you know, that we learn to worship in spirit and in truth. And that's a topic by itself. But the opposite of that, in my opinion, is likened unto the cues and the ways that we take from society, from culture, from the things that carnal, what we see in the world, and that's transaction. Now, I'm going to break this down as best as I can, because I know that this is not about us all seeing things the same way, but I know that God is dealing with me and with others when we talk in conversation about how we connect with God, how we attach to him and his agenda, and how we live from a place of our godly character and our identity in Christ from the word, specifically from the word. But when I think of transaction, thing that I want to talk about so you can see where I'm going here is a transaction, and I took the definition from the dictionary, and then I'm going to give different examples. It's like of or relating to an attitude in which personal interactions revolves around the cost or the benefit. And I want you to think about different transactions in your life that we use every day. And it's not necessarily bad. It's just how our society is able to function. For instance, you go to the ATM, you put a card in, you get money out. You turn on your TV and you get a show, or, you know, or maybe you are watching something, or maybe you're listening to the news. So there's something that you're expecting when you turn on the TV. There's something you're expecting when you go to the store and buy groceries and there's a trade. The words that I think of that come to mind many times in this situation is I think of trade and bartering and consumerism. And I am not an economist, so I'm not going to talk about that. But I think of consumerism, that's the word, and trading and bartering. And it's a cold type of transaction, I guess you could say, or an activity when I think of transaction. And it's the way that our world is run. But I think we need to be careful about how this has a way of integrating in our relationship with God. It's so easy to fall into that. even when we read the word, we feel like we read the word to get something from it, of course, so we can live and be closer to the Lord. But take some time and assess what else is going on. Have we become cold? Is it just like a trade-off? Is it like you scratch my back, I scratch yours, or with the Lord, or if I do this, I can go to heaven? And there's so many promises even in his word. And so he doesn't back away from his promises. His word is true, you know. At the same time, where's the disconnect? Do we see the disconnects, or are we aware to guard ourselves against those disconnects? When I think of the word intimacy, it's close, familiarity, or friendship. It can be synonymous with affinity and attachment and rapport. As a confidant, it indicates or is known directly. That's a, you know, way we can, like, that's the closeness, there's a bond. It can be deeply, innermostly personal, intimate. And some, it's the euphemism for other acts as well. But because of all the levels of abuse in our society, the levels of neglect, you name it, how people are trying to fill voids that only the Lord can fill, it's very easy to find ourselves or to be in an organization even where everything is transactional. Everything is like you get, I give, and it's like you talk to people that are struggling with different things and they talk about an emptiness, and I truly believe that it's because of a lack of intimacy with the Lord. And now I'm going to take it to the Word of God, because I felt, like I said, I was just starting to scratch the surface about this topic, because when Apostle Cook asked me to minister once a month, I said, well, for the rest of the year, Apostle Cook, I'm going to be talking about healing. And she's like, you can do whatever God leads you to do. And intimacy was the main thing that God brought to me, about our intimacy with him. And it's really hard. I guess you can fake the funk if you want to, but it's really, really hard to be intimate with other people if you're not intimate with the Lord, or you're not in that place where you're learning to be connected to him so he can help you serve better and connect to people, whether they are related to you or whether they're not. It's just an instant connection that some people have because they have God's heart. The first verse I'm going to mention in this is in James. And James 4, actually. I want to give a little background about this scripture. James 4, specifically chapter... Yep, Cook is right, because I sat up and did all this ahead of time, and now my computer's acting up. Nevertheless, I am going to go through this the best I can, because this, I just had all this up, and now it's not up anymore. But we're just going to go through it, so please bear with me. But it starts in James 4, specifically chapter 4, verses 8. But what precedes that is a letter that James wrote, and he was talking about faithlessness in the community, and there was conflict and dispute, and they weren't getting along very well. He said, those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and you do not have it, so you commit murder, and you covet something and cannot obtain it. So you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the scripture says God yearns jealously for the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives all the more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And this is my highlight scripture, saying, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. That word, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This is one of the ways that, not just out of a transactional type of motivation, I get something to get. We need him. We need the Lord. And if we're honest about it, it's not just about to help me meet my needs on earth. It's we need him in every area of our life. Our soul needs him. And so if you're admitting to that, begin to draw near to God and don't take your cues or your references from the world. And this is one of the reasons why they were fighting. They were, you know, there was a lot of disputes and conflicts. And he said, because of the things that are in your heart, your cravings that are in your heart. The moment that we begin to draw closer to God, he shows us things that are in us, good and bad. And at the same time, he shows us the answers to our conflict, to our inner turmoil. Anything that gets in the way of us connecting to him, knowing that we want to connect to people in a healthy way, we want to be able to serve with a pure heart. And a lot of times this is not going to happen if we don't begin to draw near to us. And I think in some cases he's drawing us. He's wooing us. He's trying to draw us to him. He's trying to get us, get our attention many times. So we just have to be aware of that. That's the first scripture that I came up with. The second one is in John 15. And because all my bookmarks disappeared on me on my computer, I'm just going to go through this the best I can. So please excuse me if it takes me a while to find things. Things were not marked in my Bible. They were marked on my computer. So I'm going to go to John 15, verses 4 through 6. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, to his people. John 15, I'm sorry. So let's turn there, please. All right. And starting at verse 4, abide in me as I abide in you, just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, and those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit because apart from me, you can do nothing. Just like I just mentioned, you really can't. You might think you can, it might appear that you can, but when people do things in their own strength or when people say, I did this, there's an emptiness and a void if they're very honest about it, how they feel, what did you get out of it? It's very short-lived. The satisfaction that you get when you begin to do things in your own strength and you feel like you don't need anybody or need nothing or I'm good, when you hear that, as servant leaders, you may not hear it as often, but it may be an internal conversation. It may be an internal dialogue that we feel, or that when we say this, I got this, or I have to do this all on my own. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Let's see. And verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit because apart from you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So abiding means to dwell or to live. And that's just the basic definition. It's not, you live there. You're not visiting. You abide in there. That's where you take all your references is abiding in him. Abiding in his word, anything he said over you, anything that he is continuously saying over you, in his word is where you live. That's where you dwell. You don't stand, and when you have a house in the natural, you have a natural house, and you live there, and you pay all the bills there. Do you sit on the porch? Do you just sit on the steps, or do you come in and live and make it that place your home and make it to where it's comfortable or to your liking, how you design it? You don't sit on the porch. You don't sit in the backyard. You sit there. You live there. That's where you live. So this is one of the ways we build intimacy is by taking his word is like breath. Everything that we read, and even when we're studying and learn understanding, we begin to get into this place where this is where we dwell. We dwell here even when it's uncomfortable. You have a cold house, and you come in and you realize you didn't turn on the heat for whatever reason, you're not going to not just, if you shouldn't anyways, if you're going to turn the heat on so you can get comfortable, but you're not going to say, this is not my house. I got to do whatever it is for me to stay here and take care of this house. And I feel like that our relationship with him can be likened unto that. It said abide. That's the word. That's the word, abode. So I'm just going on with, I live here. This is where I live, even if I'm uncomfortable, even if I don't want to be in this house right now, so to speak. as it pertains to a place. This is where I am. And so these are the types of things that help us to understand even the order of it, how he, Jesus was speaking, how he abides in God, and so we're to abide in him. So there's an order to how all this should be done, and it's design. It's by design. If we go to the book of Jeremiah, because I also like to use different examples in the word, especially in the prophetic books and the books of the prophets, where God is using the prophets to communicate to the children of Israel constantly about his love, constantly about his purpose for them, even when they are not on the same page and they're running after other gods, he still does such an awesome job of expressing his heart through the prophet. And I found that interesting. And it's really indicative of his character, how he feels about us too. So let's not forget that. Let's go to Jeremiah 31, verses 3. And verses 3. Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says, "The Lord appeared to him from far off. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." That's it, but there's so many different, that's what I just wanted to cite. Everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And it's like he's always watching over them. There's so many detailed descriptions in the Old Testament about the Lord not just wooing them, but because he loved them, they were punished as well. They were corrected as well. That is about his character for us. And when he is wooing you, and he's trying to show you how much he loves you, I pray that whoever's listening to this, then know that you are worthy of that. If God has called you, if God, and you are new, whether you're new or not, whether you might just be going through a time where you're struggling with that, where you just felt like God forgot about you, but he didn't. He might be at this time really calling you to a different, higher level of intimacy with him.
Come on.
You know?
Come on.
And so don't allow the enemy to trick you into thinking you're not worthy or that he forgot about you. That's the lie.
Amen.
In Isaiah 49,
Amen.
Don't believe any lies as it pertains to what God is trying to do, building intimacy, saying, come up higher, saying, you know, you need to be healed in this area, saying, well, I want you to serve so you can see a level of who I am. And even when we go through tests and trials, we see a dimension of who God is that we never would have saw if we didn't go through those tests and trials.
God Amen.
Up in here.
That's
Come
how
on.
We are in the fellowship of his suffering. We go through things because it does develop our character. Sure, it does mature us, but it also, if you're doing it right, if you really are looking at it the way the Lord wants you to, it builds intimacy. One of the things that even me and my husband, when we go through hard times, and we've gone through some good times, and we've gone through some hard times and some challenging times, there is sometimes a level of intimacy that we have that we didn't have before, a level of understanding that about one another that we didn't have before, some insight that we see that we didn't have before. And I feel like this is one of the things that God shows us when we get closer to him. In the book of Isaiah, I'm going to go there, it's actually chapter 49, Isaiah 49 and verses 15. And he's faithful to us in how he loves us, very faithful. His love never changes.
Amen.
And that's something that we have to remember, how important that is, especially these days. 49 verses 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Or show no compassion for the child of the womb, of her womb, even these may forget, yet I will never forget you. That's another, just a small expression of God's love for the children of Israel and how he loves us. I love these analogies, how he loves us that much, how his love is everlasting and consuming. And the reason why I'm bringing up these scriptures, because we need to remember who he is and why he wants intimacy. Of course, he's more than worthy of it, but just see how he loves us so extravagantly. That's the one words I heard someone use that once, and I was like, if that's not a great description of how he does, he loves us extravagantly. This scripture just, he never forgets us. He never will leave us. He never will forsake us. And so, as he draws us to him in that, Mm-hmm. That is more than a transaction.
Amen.
That is an act of compassion and miracles. There's so many words that I think about in that exchange.
Yes.
And then when I think of how he's building it and constantly building it as we grow in him,
yes,
and how
yes,
we mature in Christ, it takes me to Philippians 3, verse 10. Actually, it's probably going to be Philippians 3, 7 through 10, because this has to do with something I just mentioned about how when we go through things, you know, when we go through and we're looking at, okay, Lord, make this stop, I want to get off, I'm done, this is good enough. You know, when we're going through tests and trials, we're like, I can't take it no more. Can you lighten up a little bit? I mean, I can't breathe in between all these tests and trials, just back to back to back. People are going through transitions in the natural, as Apostle Zeta said, because of the things that have happened around the world and in the country, literally being taken out of their homes. But there are people in the body of Christ, servant leaders, that are going through tests and trials back to back to back.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I call it transition fatigue.
Amen.
But there's a reason and a purpose for that. To build intimacy. It's to build intimacy. Let's go to Philippians 3, starting at verse 7. Philippians 3, verse 7. Let's see. So we have to have a whole new definition or how we define suffering. What is it for? You know, why are we going through these things? That God is right there speaking us. He's talking us right through it. It's almost in some cases like an open book test in some ways, because he's right there saying, you need to learn this. You got to learn this. This is to, you know, develop this, to purge this out. You know, there's a purpose for everything you go on. At the end of the day, it will build intimacy with you, with God. So verse 7 says, yet whatever gains I had, this is Paul speaking, I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as lost because of the surpassing value, the value of knowing Christ.
Mm.
That's valuable. Jesus, my Lord, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain, this is the part I love, gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in his death.
Yeah.
And I'll read 11. And if someone I may obtain the resurrection, and he said, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So that I can read that again and get something else out of it. That's rich right there. Because Paul was just expressing all the things that he had lost. He was very highly educated. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He came from a generation of those who were well-learned men. And yet he said he counted it as dung. And in this translation, it says rubbish. But it's like it doesn't, there's a value. There's a surpassing gap. Value when we draw closer to the Lord. No, it is not easy. Yes, it is hard. Yes, it'll bring you to your knees. Yes, and I'm sure every servant leader in this ministry can attest to that and can give a different level of testimony about the things that they have suffered and the gain.
Right.
At the same time, what is the gain?
Mm-hmm.
And it's an all or nothing decision. And
that's
I feel like what Paul was saying is there's a level of surrender. There's a level of all or nothing.
Something. That's good.
That's
Amen.
Really, really how it feels when God is asking you to do something or to go an extra mile or to put more on you that you think you can't bear. He said, well, if I gave it to you, you can bear, but you can't do it without me.
Amen.
Remember how Jesus said, without him, we can do nothing. So we have to remember that he kind of set us up. He set us up to where he wants us to be intimate with him and be in love with him, like he's in love with us or loving him and loving us. But there's a cost. There is a big cost. Yes. And the darker the world Thank gets, you. The more that we can see the cost.
Yes.
And it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing.
Right.
But keep in mind, this is where we abide. We are safe. We are safe.
Amen.
Because this is where we abide.
This
is where we live. And so in John 17, let's go to the words of Jesus again. Because, I mean, he is a perfect example of sacrifice and suffering. So when we go to John 17, which is him praying for the disciples and then praying for those to come after the disciples, this was his thing. This is what he prayed, and I remember. He said, after Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent, that they may know you. That to me is about intimacy as well. How are we going to know somebody? To know. Mm-hmm. And this may sound simple, but that got my attention. That was his prayer. That was one of the first, that they may know you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hallelujah.
So when you sit with that right there, without looking up the word studies or whatever, or the commentary, just sit and think about that right there. That was Jesus' prayer for his disciples, but also for us, that they may know you. That they may know you. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. So there's a greater work than this. It's not just about us. The way that we let the Lord love us is the way that we show the world that God loves them. See that? See how that works?
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And so it's very much
Thank
connected and being receptive to his love. And this in itself is an invitation. When I think of Revelation 3 and 20 and then John 6 and 44, there's an invitation here. So let's go to Revelation. And he's always trying to draw us closer to him and his purposes, not saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this, and for you. Okay, now what you want me to do? There's not sit down and talk to me, sit down and commune with me, sit down and love me, sit down and worship me, sit down and talk to me, sit down and cast your cares on me, cast your burdens on you. You know, you have to, you know how vulnerable you have to be to allow someone to help you. For some of us, it's harder than others.
Yeah.
Because we think they want something. What do they want?
Yeah.
What do they want? Especially, this is transactional. Okay, I'll do this to get what I want, but there's really no connection. You know, it's a transaction then. So
Amen.
Verse 23, Revelation 3, verse 20, it says, listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice, open the door, and I will come in and eat with you and you with me. So the reason why I use that scripture is because it was an invitation, but it's always showing eating, sharing a meal with somebody can be very intimate. Mourning with somebody is intimate. Going on a trip, you know, there's different things that we do that are very intimate, and they create a bond. Rejoicing with somebody is intimate. Sharing a meal.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
That's a level of intimacy. Come in here. He didn't say, come in and sit down with me. I'm going to have a list of things I want you to do. Now, if you do, although that is part of our commission, but it's a relational thing, if you will.
Yes.
But I just wanted to highlight that because a meal is an intimate thing. We're breaking bread together. We sit down and we talk together. Sometimes you can share a meal with someone and not speak at all. It's just that you're deciding to sit together and eat together.
Amen.
But there's true fellowship that is beyond just doing stuff together socially. It's like there's a bond there, if you will. So I did want to bring that out. But then I also want to go to John 6 and 44 again, to John, the book of John, which is one of my favorite gospels, actually. I'm always there, back and forth. John 6, verse 44. 6 and 44. Let's see, go like this. Then the Jews, I'll start at 41. Then the Jews begin to complain about him because he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? It's like, how can he say, how can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless they're drawn by the Father. This is the verse. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. I will raise that person up on the last day. So this once again is pointing to order. It's also pointing to he draws us. People think, well, I found Jesus. No, he found you. So he draws you. And we have to always remember that. He draws you. Sometimes your circumstances are set up to the point where you draw closer to the Lord. That's it also by divine design as well. And so we Amen. Always have to remember this. In John 5, actually, since we're over here, I want to talk about motive and why we do what we do as I'm, you know, when we're talking about transactions and industry. John 5, verses 39 through, you search the scriptures, and this is Jesus speaking. He said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them they have eternal life, and it is they that testify on my behalf. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So I just wanted to mention that scripture because you search the scriptures because you think you have eternal life. So there's in mind to get answers. And I will have to say that many times when we're serving, especially because we've been serving a while, we're trying to serve and give our best. We're trying to learn. We're understanding things. We're trying to apply the word in our lives. And so when we search the scriptures or when we're applying the word, sometimes there may be this thing, well, let me just get this task-oriented. I keep going back to that. Task-oriented, but yet there's no intimacy there. And I feel like he's saying, you know, he speaks to us every day through his word. He speaks to us every day through his word. And yet it's important that we respond. It's important that we interact and that we don't get this busyness about ourselves when it comes to learning, in some cases, how to be intimate with the Lord, because that's what he always is wanting from us. And to be honest, if we're honest, we need that from him as well.
Amen.
We don't have to beg for it. See, intimacy to me, the things that build intimacy, and this is a very short list. I'm sure many of us can probably come up with many other ways that we know that God builds intimacy in us. Honesty, what builds intimacy?
Yes.
Love, honesty, humility, vulnerability,
yes.
truth. Not truth that's based upon ideologies in the past and our experiences.
Amen.
That's not truth. That's a relative truth. Absolute truth is in his word. These are the things that build him. Even if the truth hurts, if it's his truth, it's okay. Because it's going to build intimacy, not theories of man, not ideologies. Sacrifice also builds intimacy. Being accountable, being responsive to him, being interactive with him. You know, not just saying, Lord, I'm going to let you be my sounding board, like we vent. And yet we don't hear what he has to say about our cares or about our hardships. We need to sit still and listen to him. We need to not let it be transactional. Oh, I'm glad I got that off my chest. And then you go on about your business.
Yes.
We do that with each other. And I know I can say for myself, I've done that with him. And I stay at this level of being emotional and yet not accountable for my relationship with him. And then I carry that same junk into my relationship. I don't know about you, but I want to grow. I want to be more mature.
Yes,
I want to be healed in certain areas, layer by layer by layer, to be able to produce more excellent works for the Lord and draw closer to him at the end of the day.
Yes.
There are so many different examples in the word. And like I said, this is just scratching the the surface, about our level of stewardship. I remember ministering to someone one time, and the Lord spoke to me very clearly about what she was dealing with, and he said, just tell her to be a better steward of her relationships, and she wouldn't be suffering in this way. Decide tonight, however this is how God is dealing with you with this word, that you just decide to be a better steward of your relationship with the Lord. Your time, how you manage your time, how you pray, how you listen without having something to say, how you're honest, your level of honesty and integrity with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By just stop just going through the motions
with
him.
Come on,
it's easy to do that with people because we feel like that protects us and not makes us vulnerable. But do we go through the motions when it comes to God? Some of us do, some of us don't.
Come on now.
Does that build intimacy? No. It just keeps you stuck, keeps you frustrated, and in some cases, it keeps you in arrested development. You never grow. You only grow to a certain level. Mentally, emotionally, I pray that even when we begin to read these words, if there's scriptures that have stuck out to you, you go back and study them in context, total context, and begin to say God can give you a cognitive understanding of it to apply it in your life. That is not just fluffy words or high platitudes. No, this is something I can apply in my life every day. Yes, God is dealing with me about my level of intimacy because he doesn't want me serving people disconnected.
That's right.
I'm disconnected. I'm not accessible to people emotionally because I got some, I'm just doing this for God, but we're cold. We might just say it's a transaction. That's what I'm supposed to do. That kind of attitude. You know what I'm saying? I'm really knowing that. I really truly believe that the word is a hammer and it breaks the rocks in pieces. So whatever is being said to you, especially if it's stuff that is going on in your heart, that is hard, whether it came from serving and I think Apostle Cook addressed this online one time about church hurt, and I agree. Yeah. I don't believe in church hurt. People hurt you. The church is the body of Christ. And so if that's what you're dealing with or maybe, you know, whatever you're struggling with, I'm going to pray in a short minute about whatever God is saying today. I think there's different, I know there's different people I'm talking to, even people that will hear this in the archives. And I believe this is I know this is a prophetic word. I know that the word in itself and the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So whatever was said today, blessing, that was his words, especially his prayer for us.
Yes.
It has a prophetic nature to it. And so I just thank God today for this opportunity because every time, like I said, the word cuts coming and going. So it doesn't just address you or the people I'm ministering to, addresses me first, even while I'm preparing it. And then it addresses me again when I deliver it. And then it addresses me again when it's over.
You better say that, girl. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I know that this is a timely word, and I'll tell you why it's a timely word, because there are many of us that have many great call on our life that's nothing to be fascinated by or even flattered by, but it's a heavy weight. And so there's levels of the Lord saying, you know, you can't do this without me. And some of us are not trying to do it without him. But I pray that we have a teachable spirit to learn through his word what intimacy is for us.
Amen.
At this season that we're at. If there's a spirit of fear, if there is, or are we overthinking things, or are we having pride issues, if we have unforgiveness, whatever it is, it could be anything. I'm going to pray right now. And I want you to pray with me as well. And I thank you, Lord, today that this atmosphere on this network today will be an atmosphere that will carry with us throughout the rest of the week, because I know you desire to continue to propel us forward in what is said today about intimacy. What is it to me? What is it to Apostle Cook? What is it to us as a collective? Right?
Yeah.
Because there's intimacy that we bring when we all get together, that we've been with God. We can tell.
That's it.
I can tell they've been sitting a while. They've been in a place of consecration. They're bringing some strength to this group that we haven't, that we need right now. When one is weak, the other is strong. Father God, thank you. I come before you right now saying thank you. I thank you, Lord, today for who you are and who you are showing us that you are to us in the word today.
And yes, Lord God.
I just thank you, Lord, today for lifting our hearts to you at this time in a special way as it pertains to intimacy, showing us your light. Some of us are dealing with areas of uncertainty. I thank you for being clarity and light. I thank you for being peace in places where some of us have the level of confusion. God said, just draw closer to me and you won't be confused. You'll be literally outside of that confusion. And really what I see too right now in the name of Jesus is he is taking somebody, and it's probably, I don't know who it is, but he's taking you out of that confusion so you can stand on outside and look at it but not be a part of it.
Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
And I thank you, Lord, today that that's going to be the place where God begins to pour into you knowledge and wisdom so that you can help, if he says so, the level of conflict. You're not, don't be in the middle of it. I thank you, Lord, today that for that soul I'm speaking to, and it's a leader.
Yes, Jesus. Thank
God says he's going to let him draw you out of that.
Yes.
And be able to put you where he wants you to be and put a hedge around you.
Yes,
and that you
Lord
can begin
God.
To get closer to him. That's the only way he's going to be effective through you, man of God.
Yes.
Man of God. That's the only way you're going to be effective is if you allow him to take you out where he wants you to be so you can be able to observe what he wants you to observe and minister knowledge and wisdom. I thank you, Lord, today for the power of your word, that it goes before us and makes every crooked way straight. I thank you for that soul right now, Lord, as a servant leader who is dealing with being courageous. They may be acting
Lord
or drawn
God.
Back.
Hallelujah.
Help them,
Jesus.
Lord, and let them know that you are their help. You are their help. Yes. And before every conquest and taking over different territories, you're the one that says, only be thou courageous. Be thou courageous continuously.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I speak to
Hallelujah.
That heart right now. Be courageous.
Hallelujah.
God is with you. He has
That's
never,
right.
he will never leave or forsake you. And because he's taking you into new territory, he's not just going to kick you there and leave you. He is with you
Come
the
on.
Whole time.
Hallelujah.
And as I, and as I'm speaking this, he's gone before you. So you're going to know he was there.
Yeah.
For him.
Hallelujah.
Look for him and know that he has gone before you. So I thank you, Lord, today for impartation of courage. I thank you, Lord, for strength. For that man, strengthen our hands, Lord. Strengthen our eyes, Lord, that we, those who have vision that you gave them, that we begin to continuously see what you see, that we shake off the old and begin to put on new garments. We begin to put on what your word has said about us, and we walk boldly in that every day. That this message today, that it will continually be in our spirit, that in some cases, we might say, why is this word harassing me? We might feel a little harassed. But I thank you, Lord, that that is not of the devil. That's you saying, respond to me.
You're ripping their hearts, Jesus.
Thank you,
You're
Jesus.
Saying, respond to me, and you won't be harassed.
My Lord.
Draw closer to me, and you won't be harassed.
My Lord.
Talk to me.
Thank you,
So
Jesus.
I thank you, Lord, today that we've just begun to trust you. I thank you for opportunity to serve. I thank you for opportunity to pour in, and I know you already poured. I poured out, you poured in at the same time, and I thank you, Lord, today.
Thank you, Lord.
That also the level of our expectation began to rise because we know when we
Lord.
Come closer to you, you are equipping us to do whatever we need to do. Anything that is an impediment will become a strength.
Yes.
It's a weakness will become a strength in you.
Yes, Lord.
And
God.
So right now, and I close this. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, amen. I want to also speak a word over Apostle Cook. And those, you can pray for me or you can do the same. One of the things that was heavy on my heart after the message last week was that there needs to be a level for those of us that know she serves and has served. It's not just about affirmation. There's something bigger here that, and really, I know I'm in the vein because Minister Michelle was right in that vein. And I said, okay. So she spoke some words over Apostle Cook.
Yeah.
And it's important that we pray for her in her hearing, not just because I know many of us do pray for her, but
yeah,
in her
amen.
Hearing, because
yeah.
there has to be an exchange. And I think there's a level of impartation she needs from those who she leads with. We're all
mm-hmm.
leading with her, but she
yes.
is at the front.
Yes.
So I just thank you, Father God,
amen.
Today for Apostle Cook. I thank you, Lord, today
yes,
for the ministry, the ministries that are on her heart. I thank you, Lord, today that I believe in the name of Jesus that next year will be a year where there's new ministries birthed from Spirit Alive. I thank
yes.
you, Lord, that you show her how to execute those ministries, show her who she
yes,
can trust,
Lord.
Show her not just what it is,
yes,
but how
Lord.
To do it. Thank you, Lord,
yes.
today that there are no worries about finances. I thank you, Lord, today that many
yes.
of us begin to pour into her in ways that you lead us to. I thank you, Father God,
yes.
today that the level of her voice and her influence, Lord, will be more bolder. And I just believe that there's going to be things that she has been restraining from saying. She's going to say it. She's going to say it. But I know that
yes.
it comes from a place
yes.
of love. I know
yes,
that it comes
yes.
from a place of love, but I thank
yes.
you, Lord, today that you give her peace in it. You protect her in everything
yes.
that she is doing or will do. There's things that you have not released her to do yet, but I thank you, Lord, today
Lord.
That even in that, you have not forgotten what it is, and you're going to tell her the appointed time. And, Lord, I thank you that we'll back her up, that we begin to pray for
yes.
her right now fervently as you lead us in a different way because of the things that are going to be released over her life and everything that
yes.
is connected to her.
My
yes.
Lord.
Everything
Jesus.
And everybody that is connected to her. What
yes.
this
Amen.
Really means. Thank you, Lord, today that
yes.
you have given her and
I
others connected
you,
to
God.
This ministry strategy.
I love you,
so
Lord.
I think that's a word, a strategy.
You,
actually,
Lord.
Apostle
yes,
Cook,
Jesus.
See that over your head in big,
yes,
bold letters.
Yes, yes,
strategy,
yes.
Strategist,
yes.
strategy, strategist.
Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
It's
God.
Almost like
I
it's a door
it.
Around you, a frame. Strategy.
Yes, my Lord Jesus.
So I thank you, Lord, today based on her apostolic call, what strategies are. And I thank you that we will pray that they will be applicable and we will help her as you lead us. And some of us will be prompted and some of us she'll have to ask. But I just thank you, Lord, today for your purposes at the end of the day being done. Your will being
yes,
done
Lord.
On earth as it
yes.
is in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I'm done. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And glory to God. I'm humbled. I'm humbled.
Thank you.
I'm humbled.
Yes.
I'm humbled.
Yes.
I'm humble. I'm grateful.
Lord.
I thank you, Jesus. And I thank you,
yes,
Pastor
Jesus.
Vanessa, for that rhema word.
Yes.
You have already, in essence, given an invitation. I know if I would have heard that message, and I have called myself a blood-washed believer, and if I've been trying to have a transactional relationship with Jesus, I would have been on my knees repenting before you got through with the message. Because you made it very clear. For those,
Amen.
You know, I know what myself, I was like, Lord, I want to be more intimate with you. I want to go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know you more. I don't want to be disconnected from you. So
yes.
I just praise
Amen.
God for that wonderful message.
Amen.
And what I'm going to do right now, and of course, the awesome, awesome prayer. You have already prayed, and you did a beautiful job
yes.
binding that message in the name of Jesus. So what
yes.
I would like to ask now is that my brother, my bishop, our God's bishop, Bishop Lester Carver, I want you to come in and just pray for all of those who will come to the Lord. Pray for all of those who are repenting and wanting a closer relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to just lift them up right now as you do so well all the time. Bishop, come on in the house and pray for that, and then I will dismiss you. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Cook. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. For all that you've given us, God, Father, we praise you, we magnify you, we lift you up, God, You're greatly to be praised. There is no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ that you sent so that we could live life more than abundantly, God. Father, we thank you for his broken body that was for our physical wholeness, God. Father, we thank you for his shed blood that was for our spiritual wholeness and the payment for all of our sin, God. Father, we thank you for the power of your son, Jesus Christ's blood, and how it has covered all of our sins, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us the ability and the willingness and the desire to receive that payment for our sins freely so that we can walk in open relationship with you, God. Father, I thank you for all of those who have received that right now as a result of what they've heard today, God. Father, I thank you for you leading them to places where their relationship with you can be developed. God, I thank you for you sending laborers into their life who can teach them how to study your word for themselves, God. Who can teach them how to pray in your presence daily, God. Who can teach them how to pray in their heavenly prayer language of speaking in tongues, Father. Mm-hmm. Who can teach them to fast when you lead them to fast and how you lead them to fast, God. Father, I thank you for those who can teach them how to fellowship with like-minded believers in a way that allows them to sow into others and others to sow into them, God. Father, I thank you for building them up so that they can lead others into relationship with Christ, God. Father, I thank you for the knowledge of what it says in Acts 2:38 and Acts 19:1 through 7 and 10:8-13, becoming the thing that they know the best that they can share with others so that they can your kingdom know they are truly in your kingdom and that they are going to see you in heaven as a result of them receiving your son, Jesus Christ's blood, is payment for their sins. God, I thank you right now for you allowing us to focus on the work that you've given us to do. I thank you for your love. Thank you for fear being cast out as a result of our love for you. And the power of life. I thank you for the freedom that we have in your son, Jesus Christ, right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I just want to praise God because, hallelujah, he is awesome. Now, for those servant leaders that were in that are in the sanctuary, for whatever reason, we were having technical difficulty, I want to praise God for you all remaining. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank, first and foremost, our beautiful speaker of the hour, Pastor Vanessa Carver, of course, her wonderful husband, Bishop Lester Carver. I want to thank, hallelujah, Mother Apostle Zeta Flowers, Minister Gladys McGee. I want to praise God for my little sister, Evangelist Michelle Scott, being in the house. Of course, I want to thank my mother, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, for being in the house today. And, of course, our most faithful listener who is here every Sunday, Brother Marty, we want to praise God that you were here as well. So we just pray that I know I heard something that blessed my soul today, and I pray that you did too. We pray that you will continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go in peace. And remember, God loves you, and so do we. Have a beautiful and blessed week, everyone. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, family of God. You were awesome.
You
thank you so much.
You
God bless
love
you.
Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Love you too.